Doctor?
Doctor.
Doctor?
Doctor.
Doctor?
Doctor.
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 And doctor. Well, we miss anyone?
He's Northwestern Medicine VP. Call Dr. Most right now.
Dr. Kevin Most joins us. Good morning, Doc. How are you?
Good morning, Steve. I'm doing great.
You and I are swapping some texts. You had quite a weekend.
I did. We had a lot of fun this weekend.
Was this at Butterfield Country Club?
No, this was at Chicago Golf Club.
Wow. Well, yeah. One of the most legendary courses in the country, and Ben Crenshaw swung by to hang out with Doc and his brothers. Was that how it worked?
Yeah, how about that?
Wow. Yeah. So what was Crenshaw doing in town?
Crenshaw's a member there, so he came up from Texas and played for 3 or 4 days, and just he just loves the course and thinks it's a great place, so he was just hanging out. Couldn't have been nicer. You know, he's just a regular guy.
And, well, all the tour guys that you know, I would have thought you've met him before, but not so much?
Oh, no, I met him probably, I don't know, 6 or 7 times. Yeah, yeah. I know him. Actually spent some time with him at the Masters with Steve Melnick the year I was down there, so yeah.
Yeah, so and one of the great putters of all time. But you did something yesterday. Now, Pete Zimmerman on this show just came back from a big tennis event. This would be the equivalent of going back to the wood rackets of the 60s and 70s. You played golf this weekend in an event with Hickory Clubs, right?
Yeah, so the four of us, the three brothers and I, we played Chicago golf with Hickory Shafted Clubs, which is very cool. This company, Louisville Golf, that makes these hickory shafted clubs are just phenomenal, and it's just a lot of fun, and you just realize how much technology has changed, but really how much it more is based on the archer versus the arrows.
Yeah, it's the player, not the sticks.
Yep.
So your brother David, who you mock regularly, your little brother, shot 79?
Yeah, how about it?
Why would he ever go back to real clubs?
I know, so I told him. I said, you wouldn't have shot 79 with your regular clubs.
Right.
So, yeah, he had really it was a fun round to watch. Played with the same ball the entire day, and it was just a fun ball to watch, or fun game to watch.
Now, Dave, and it's here. Dave, you remember Gutta Percha? He wasn't actually the player that you thought he was. Yeah, the ball made of feathers.
Right.
Remember you used to hit that when you first played?
Yeah, it was tough, actually. It's more of a challenge than you think. But, Doc, do they have hickory hybrids?
No.
No?
It's actually funny, Dave, when you look at these clubs, they start with 2 irons, 2 iron, 3 iron, 4 iron, clubs that people don't see anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And the drivers, the head of the driver is, you know, a third of the size of what, traditional drivers are now. So you're more concerned about whiffing than you are about how you get trying to hit it on the face.
Now, I have one of these Louisville Slugger Company wood head, persimmon head drivers, like the ones I used in the 70s when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And they're about 47 pounds compared to the stuff we use today. So what's the best drive you hit all day?
I had some really good drives. Matter of fact, I had some drives where I normally hit my Titleist driver right now.
For real.
It was unbelievable.
Well, you're a talented guy.
Yeah.
All right, let me jump in here. Aretha Franklin passes, and we're being told this was a rare form of the disease that she had. What do we know?
Well, she had pancreatic cancer, and it's unfortunate. It's probably one of the worst cancers around. You know, we talked about brain cancer. That's pretty bad, and pancreatic cancer is bad as well. And that's what she died from. Pancreatic cancer is very difficult because often by the time we find it, it's beyond a treatable stage. So it's very frustrating for the doctors and just very sad when we look at mortality rates. You know, even the people that survived the first year from diagnosis, you know, is like only 20%.
Doc, what makes it one of the worst cancers? What is it about pancreatic that has such terrible mortality rates?
Yeah, the bad thing about it is it sits in the pancreas, which is a very vascular organ, and it's allowed to grow and expand without really causing much symptoms. So you don't even know that it's there. It's just continuing to grow. And then by the time it grows to a point where you start to have the symptoms, now it's beyond reach. It's beyond that simple, let's just go in and cut it out, because it has wrapped itself around arteries and vessels and invaded into the stomach or the gallbladder or the liver. So it's one of those where it grows rapidly, and by the time it grows to a point where you have symptoms that really mean something, it's often too late, 80% of the time.
Aretha had surgery back in 2010, and she had a right to keep it private, and she did. But now we think maybe that was pancreatic cancer surgery even back then?
Very possibly. You know, people, you know, I call it winning the lottery, is, you know, you come into the emergency room or you go to your doctor's office for something totally different, whether it's, you know, back pain or some other issue. And they do a CAT scan of you, and they say, oh, by the way, we saw a small spot on your pancreas. Those are people that have no symptoms whatsoever, and those are the ones that they can go in and do surgery, and it's essentially a cure. But it's those ones where it's usually found because we're looking for something else.
Well, yeah, I had that with a pulmonary embolism. I had a pulmonary embolism, a year and a half ago, and they immediately said, we have to check for cancer, for pancreatic cancer. So one indicates the other?
No, but they're there at the same time, and the scan usually will be and cover all that portion of the body if they did the chest and the abdomen. So they're going to
For a reason for the blood clot.
Correct.
Got it.
Yep. Yep.
Right. Doc, will there be a moment in the medical future where there will be research and more of a push to figure out how to detect pancreatic cancer early?
Yeah. That's the biggest struggle right now. There's no blood marker. You know, the only way we detect it, like I said, is with a CAT scan or an ultrasound. It's very difficult because there's no really pattern of, oh, this person is at a much higher risk. There's a couple genetic issues, but besides that, this is a very sporadic illness that we can't say, oh, because you smoke, because you did this, you're at a higher risk, therefore we're going to start to screen for you, like lung cancer. This is one where we would be giving people a lot of radiation with a very low yield to find those very early, because we're talking, you know, 50, 60,000 cases a year in the United States.
Let's come back and talk about something completely different, and that's a measles outbreak.
Yeah.
Stand by for that. More with Dr. Kevin Most, or as I like to call him, Old Hickory. Sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, the pursuit of better health care starts here. Back to Dr. Kevin Most. We got a measles problem?
Well, we do. You know, it's not a huge problem, but it's kind of interesting. It's been out in the news here last week, and just thought we'd at least touch on it. That, we've seen kind of a measles outbreak across the country, and it's one where we think measles. We don't think it measles anymore, but it's out there.
What are we looking for?
Well, that's probably the most difficult thing about measles. It's extremely highly contagious illness that, you know, people cough and sneeze, and you don't get the symptoms then until 2 weeks later, 3 weeks later sometimes. So the bad thing is that it's highly contagious and goes out there. Now, the vast majority of people here in the United States are vaccinated, and those are still protected. So the people that are getting it are actually people who are not vaccinated who live in the United States or are coming in from other countries where vaccination rates for this is extremely low.
So we don't need boosters.
Well, not yet, and I wouldn't say that because the cases that we've seen for measles have been people that have been not vaccinated. Now, interestingly enough, when you get the measles vaccine, you get what we call the MMR, measles, mumps, and rubella. Rubella is the three-day German measles. That one has pretty much been eradicated, and that's great because that one can cause a lot of birth defects. Our concern now is coming up with mumps, actually. And if you remember in the spring, we talked about the outbreak at Western Illinois University of mumps this year.
Yep.
And what we're finding there is, just like whooping cough, vaccinations that we thought may be lifelong may not be lifelong. Mm-hmm. So now we're looking and saying, all right, we may need a mumps booster before going into college, but that's being studied right now.
You know, with the globalization, the way that the world works today, are we just inevitably going to see more diseases that we thought to be either under control or eradicated come back and rear its head in other ways?
Absolutely, Justin. I mean, that is probably the biggest concern is, like we talked last week, the world is getting a lot smaller, and we're bringing a lot of people into the country that haven't been vaccinated and now are exposing ourselves to them. Used to be that if we got enough people vaccinated, even if we had an outbreak, it was very small because we call herd immunity, because vaccines are not 100%, but if you get a 98% protection rate, it's going to be very few people that are going to get this. Now what we're finding is, like I said, those vaccinations that we thought were saving us, giving us lifelong protection, we may not, and it's going to be exposed as we bring people in from other countries that now reintroduce that virus into the country.
I have one follow-up on that. As we talk about vaccinations and obviously, you know, doing all these vaccinations with kids, how fast can the medical community work when there needs to be a new vaccination or an update on a vaccination because something is back?
Yeah. So you realize we can work fairly quickly with some of the more simple ones, right? Think about flu shots. We have that new vaccine every year. So they're working on the vaccine. Actually, it's done and it's out there already for next year's flu season. So we work on flu vaccines very quickly. When you look at some of these others, they take a little bit longer because we haven't tested them yet. Take West Nile, for example. You know, we don't have a full-blown West Nile vaccine out there yet, because we haven't had the ability to test it on enough people. So some are slow, and then others are very quick. The bad thing is, like Zika, think about that. So they're working on a Zika vaccine. But they have to prove that it's safe, and they have to prove that it works before they can spread it out to the entire country.
Doc Mo, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, the pursuit of better health care starts here. You never said what you shot yesterday.
I shot 89. And I'll tell you, the reason I shot 89, I probably had the best caddy in the world. And Mary Faith, a sophomore at St. Francis High School in Wheaton, couldn't have been a better caddy and just the sweetheart of a kid.
Yeah, and apparently got a little game because, what did you win?
We won the Caddy Challenge, yeah.
Nice.
Mary Faith and I won the Caddy Challenge where, now because Mary Faith was playing against the other three caddies were two high school players and one guy who plays in college, she got an extra shot and a throw, and she used her throw at a very opportune time.
All right, nicely done.
Yep.
Kids got a game and strategy.
Yes.
Heckle and congratulate your brothers as you see fit, and I'll talk to you later.
You got it. Talk to you soon.
That's Dr. Kevin Most going to work at Northwestern Medicine. The pursuit of better health care starts here.